So in the Word of God tonight, Luke chapter number 6, it's good to be in the house of God, and could be the last time we ever meet, never know, could be my last service, could be your last service, and that's something you don't know, and let's talk about that this morning, about the shortness of life, the suddenness of death, and the surety of judgment. Look, if you will, in the book of Luke 6, verse 46. The Bible said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The word Lord means master. It means supreme in authority. It means the ruler. It means that Christ is the ruler. He's the reign. He's the one that reigns over us. Tonight, if you're saved, he said, "Why would you call me your Lord or Lord, Lord, and not do what I ask you to do or what I say to do?" And he is the ruler. He is the reigning king tonight. And I won't say this tonight, brother. If a man's saved, he comes under the submission of the Lordship of Christ. That's right. That's the difference in a man being saved tonight, is coming completely under the, it's unconditional. Amen. There's no conditions put on it. You come as you are, a lost sinner to the Lordship of Christ. He is the King, thank God. He's the Savior. And that's the way you get saved. You don't, here's the thing. God's not going to share thrones. You know what I'm saying? God don't share a throne tonight with anybody. Now, somebody's on the throne in your heart. And it's either him or yourself. There's only two peoples on the throne. It's either you or God. And tonight, if you're on the throne, then he's not your Lord. You're your own boss. And that's what most people want to be. But the fact of it is, you'll bow to his lordship one day. He's Lord over both the living and the dead. He's Lord. And everybody's going to call him Lord one day. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess to the Lord Jesus. He's the one while you're living tonight. He's gave you life. He's gave you, thank God, the opportunity to have life. And then he said to have it more abundantly. So he's asking the question, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, up the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it." I like that. "For it was founded upon a rock." It wasn't that it was a great house, it's just a great foundation. Verse number 49, "He that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So I find here that he's lacking in this hearing the Word of God and doing it's like unto a man that builds his house upon a rock. And then the man that don't do what God says is like a man building on sand. And tonight, there's a difference, thank God, on your foundation. There's a difference in a man that builds upon the rock tonight. The rock is Christ. The sand's the world, the earth. In fact, Matthew 7 talked about being built on sand. He said, "Great was the fall of it." I want to preach tonight from verse 49 and preach on what ruined this house. What ruined this house? You know, today we're living in an era that we need to find, thank God, what foundation we're on. We need to make sure we're on the right foundation. Every house has got a foundation tonight. I remember that old house where it used to sit there, where our house is now. And that old foundation was built on big old stone. Big old stone. That house was standing. And tonight, thank God, that house I live in now is built on a brick foundation, on a block and brick foundation. Thank God. Friend, I'm telling you, you need to find out what your foundation is tonight. You need to make sure you're on the rock. You need to make sure, thank God, that your foundation is in Christ. Your foundation is upon the truth. And have an absolute in your life to know, hey, I've got the right foundation. I don't live on sinking sand. I've got the rock for my foundation. Now, this Bible here says that them that hear the Word, and go out and don't do it. He's like a man that's built his house, and when it stands all right until the storm comes, it stands all right until the stream beats against it, and it's like any house, it's all right until it's tested, but when the test comes, thank God that one on the rock could not be shaken, it couldn't be taken off of it, friend, thank God for that, because the rock is Christ, but we find here the other house is built upon the earth or upon the sand, and it fell, great was the ruin of it, and tonight, I must say this, that our home tonight need to be on the right foundation. What's the foundation tonight your home's built on? Is it on the rock? Is it on the Lord Jesus and the principles of the Word of God? Or is it built on sinking sand? It's only a matter of time that the revelation will be of what the wind to do to the home, what the flood to do to the house, and what will happen. He said, great was the ruin. It was ruin, friend. And tonight, you know what? There could be one sitting here tonight that your life is upon ruin, that your home is upon ruin. I mean, it could just be a storm come in your life, and actually, my friend, the house be ruined, things that you face that could end up in ruin. What is ruin our homes tonight? What's ruining lives? It's the foundation they're built upon tonight that they're trying to survive on. I'm glad tonight, thank God, that my hope is built on the Lord Jesus Christ and the foundation of the Bible, the foundation of the truth. And you can't build a home tonight on nothing else that it'll stand. That's why tonight, my friend, that even the older folk in our days had long marriages and had marriages that lasted because they had the foundation of the Bible. They trusted the Word of God. They trusted God. They didn't have all the education of the day. They wasn't what you call learned people, but they knew who to trust. They knew the Bible was the principle and the Word of God, and they went by it. Amen. I mean, brother, even lost people 30 and 40 years ago lived a more clean life than some people that profess to be saved in this hour. And we're in that day where people listen to the preaching and they even say they believe the Bible, but they don't take it to heart and they build upon sand. And tonight we find here that there was a great ruin of that house. So why is the house being ruined? Because of the foundation. But notice this, because of disobedience. He said, hear them that heareth my word and don't do it. He's in danger of ruining his own house. His house is in danger of falling. His house is in danger, my friend, of crumbling down. A man that won't obey God. Help me to obey God, God. Help me to be obedient to the Lord. Help me to love the Bible and love God and love to pray and build, thank God, upon that. I can't build my house tonight on disobedience. It'll not stand. It'll always, my friend, be in danger of ruin when we go against the Word of the Lord. Hey, I'm telling you this tonight. You better know your house is on the rock tonight. And then knowing disobedience has caused many houses to ruin. But can I say worldliness tonight has caused many a house to ruin. Listen, friend, when we, my friend, take these things of the world and try to replace the things of God with the things of the world, we're in danger of a ruin. Amen. When the world's standards become your standards, when the world's ways become your ways, there's a danger of the ruin of the home. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is good and acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You say, we're fighting against it today. You better believe it. But I'm telling you this, worldliness in the home will bring a great ruin. When a man starts dressing like the world, acting like the world, thinking like the world, and thus becomes his habit of living, then my friend, he's going to come up to ruin. You can't bring the world's philosophies in your home and expect the blessing of God upon it. You can't take the Lord's Day and go, my friend, and abuse the day of God and say, well, I can do this and do that and expect the blessing of God upon your life. Amen. The Lord's Day ought to be an honored day. It ought to be a day set aside to worship God. It's not a day, my friend, to wash the car or to go out and do your own thing and miss the house of God. And we wonder why our children don't have no desire for God. It's because willingness has crept in. The Lord's house now is an option. A lot of people, especially on the Lord's Day now, every event is on the Lord's Day. And we find that that's become the mentality of the people in the house of God. But I want to tell you, this is a God's truth tonight. A man that dishonors the day of God is a man that's in danger of great ruin tonight. I've found out since I've been saved that one of the most important things of my living for God is to be obedient to God and to be faithful unto His standard and not let the world persuade me when it comes. Thank God that this old time way of God, this preaching and the house of the Lord. They might say to me, well, preacher, they don't specifically say in the Bible we ought to come to church on Sunday. No, they met every day. The early church did. Daily and in the temple and from house to house. But in the scripture and the principle of it was that the early church met in a locality and had worship and preaching of the Word of God. And upon the first day of the week they brought offerings. Thank God, the first day being the resurrection morning. And we know, thank God, that Paul said, or John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And we know that it is right to come together and, brother, have the Word of God preached and broke to our hearts. And I'm telling you this tonight, when you don't make much of the Lord and His day and live the way you want to and let the world persuade you, then you're ending up for a ruin. I'm telling you tonight, you can't live apart from God's fellowship and His people in fellowship tonight. Somebody said, I can stay at home, read my Bible, and get as much out of it. I can stay at home and pray. Well, you can, and you ought to do that every day, God helping you. But you need the fellowship of the saints. You need the atmosphere of worship. You need to be amongst the preaching of the Word of God. And when you get too big for that, and you think that I don't need the house of God, I don't need to hear the preaching of the Word of God, then you're in for a great ruin. It might not come right then, but brother, there will be a day that you do need a man of God. You do need the saints of God. And therefore, if you get out of the house of the Lord and go your way in the way of a transgressor, then, my friend, you'll end up in ruin. And tonight, I believe one thing's happened in the church that's brought ruin to the home is worldliness. Think it like the world tonight. Amen. That's right, brother. Amen. God help me to have the right conviction in my heart and the principle in my life that I'm going to attend the house of God. Amen. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm telling you what, I've been married now, thank God, for, I'll tell you, wow, 27 years coming this year, and it's been a great journey, and it's been good. But my wife and myself would tell you tonight, if it had not been for the grace of God, if it had not been for the foundation that was built, thank God our house is built on, brother, and standing with truth and right. Listen, we might had a great fall. Everybody tonight, my friends, in danger if their foundation is not right of a great fall. You'd say it never happened to me. I'd tell you this, if you're not on the right foundation and upholding the truth, it could happen to anybody.
brother. And that's why Paul said here, thank God, or may I say Luke said here, that we ought to know we're on the right foundation. So worldliness has entered in and ruined the house. And then idolatry is such a great sin of our country. When Paul went to Athens, he said he was stirred within him because of the idolatry that was before him. And he went and preached. They was an idol people. As a superstitious people, amen, they believe in these things. My friend, they had an altar to the unknown God. And he preached and told them there wasn't but one. Thank God that they had to repent toward. He said he commanded all men everywhere to repent. In other words, turn from your idols. Turn from them things that you worship that's made with hands. For God, my friend, not made with hands. And we don't worship anything that's made with hands. That's why tonight there's much tradition tonight in a lot of people's life, and they are sentimental traditionalists, and they don't worship the true God. They worship a figure. They worship an altar. They worship, my friend, other things instead of God. I will tell you, I thank God for this building. God give us the pulpit and the other furniture in the house of God and the pews, but I don't need any of this to worship God. I can take this same message out there in the yard and give you thank God chairs out there and preach the same way. Amen. Why? Because He's the same God. I thank Him for providing for us. There's something special about this place. I'm glad, thank God, we didn't build some other building. I like this and I believe it. Let's stay with it. The Jesus comes, and if God ever saw fit to bring some in, and we got, thank God, busy about inviting people in the pews for field. Thank God, we'll set chairs out, knock the back out. Amen. Thank God. I'm telling you, friend, I thank God for this place. It's a special place. But I'm telling you this, I don't worship a building. I worship God. Amen. I don't worship a statue nor a picture, but I worship God. And He, my friend, the Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And a lot of people's got idols in their life. That means them things that set up in your heart that you adore and put much value in tonight. Amen. This country's ate up in idolatry. Amen. Everything's individualized today to get man to worship it. It means something. Tradition in a church. My friends, about killed a lot of them. This is the tradition of this church. This is the way it always has been. My grandpa set the tree out there. Oh, what's that mean? That don't mean God's in the tree. Amen. That's right. Amen. A lot of people's confused about God and about what's right in the house of God. If people got wanting God more than anything else and was hungry for the Lord and wanting His presence and wanting His power instead of over little old foolish things. Amen. That's right. Instead of them things that really don't matter, they could have some power in their life and their house, thank God, would be built right and be standing, thank God, when the storm come. Amen. But this idolatry today, athletics idolatry, and movie star idolatry, all that, my friend. Even we've set up preacher idolatry today. Call them doctors and nurses and everything else instead of the man of God, instead of the preacher. I tell you, I don't want you to recognize me as no doctor. Amen. I want you to say He's the man of God. He's the preacher. He's God called man. He's the pastor. Amen. Thank God, or He's a brother in Christ. I'm not looking for some high title of glorify and idolize a man. Amen. I love Brother Milby, and he's my, thank God, a great friend of mine and a great man of God. But I realize and know the only help I'll get is God through him. Amen. We're not setting men up on pedestals. Amen. We're looking, thank God, to him for help. But I'm telling you this, there's so much idolatry in this day. It's pitiful. People worship their own thing, what they make with their hands, and glory, and glory in it. And it's a sad shame. And we want to know why homes is the way they are. Amen. and the television and the internet and all that, and I'm not preaching just specifically against that. It's what you do with it that's evil, or good. Amen. If you can find much good out of it. But I am telling you this, it has ruined a many of home. The chat room business is wicked. Get off of it. Get a telephone. Listen, friend, write them a letter. Amen. That's right. Unless they're a missionary overseas. Amen. I'm telling you, this stuff's gone too far, brother. And therefore, we want to, oh, preacher, I'm telling you what. Amen. Listen to me tonight. Law, this stuff ain't no more called for. We justify it by saying this is, we're trying to be a help. I'm telling you what. I don't know of any better help that you could be as to pray and seek God. Get where God's at. Let Him help you. Lord, this things are going on today, brother, going on behind the scene and going on behind the walls. And we wonder why this man's wife's running off and this man's running off. Hey, I'll tell you why. Because they got this mess off the internet, the chat room, all that bunch of filth, MySpace.com, all that garbage. I'll tell you, what's on that? Why's people on that anyway? Trying to build a big image of them, say, look at my picture, hat on backwards, and the pants are dragging the ground, looking like they came out of the ghetto. Hey, I'm telling you, God ain't in none of that. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, I'm preaching right. We're living a day and hour. That's just about eating people up. And I'm telling you, it's about ruining their home. And daddy ain't got enough backbone in God about him. To look on my own eyeballs, say, you ain't got dirt. I want you to know you ain't got dirt. Amen. We're living in that air. And there's a lot of homes ruined over it. I know a missionary tonight's not even on the field. Because his wife got hooked up on the internet with somebody. And I'm telling you, friend, there's a danger in it. And curiosity and the flesh. It'll always take you down. There ain't nobody in here tonight, including myself, that can withstand it. It's wicked and vile. It'll take us down and ruin our homes. Amen. So why are you preaching like that? Because I know it's happened. And it could happen to me and it could happen to you. That's right. Exactly right. And we don't know why our homes are ruined tonight. I need somebody up here to preach skin my hide. That's right. Ain't nobody. I like a man to skin my hide. I need my hide skinned sometime. Daddy talked to me not long ago and said, talking about cell phones and all this mess. I wonder why these little old boys and girls got to carry a cell phone around. What in the world did they do with it before they had one? What do they need it for? I'd like to know that. What's a 13, 14-year-old boy need to carry a little old belt cell phone around all the time? If it ain't controlled by mom and daddy. Want to know why they're talking to everybody under the sun. Said, preacher, I had to take it from him. He was talking at the 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. Why is our house being ruined? Staying on the computer 1, 2, and 3 o'clock in the morning. Right? And they say they can't do nothing about it. No, what you do is you tell them they're going to bed at night, and if you catch them up, it's going to be rough on them. What's happened in this day? What's happened? We've let our houses come down to ruin. Amen. That's right. That's right. And I'm telling you, Lord, that's idolatry. It's idolatry to the core. It's idolatry to the core. It's a lot of things are going on behind the scenes. Idolatry, the love of money, worldliness, disobedience to God. And therefore, you know why homes today, my friends, at the picture of ruin, is because it's not on the right foundation. It's not no peace in it, not no, thank God, joy in it, not no help from God in it. It's all what I want. It's not, listen, friend, mamas, they want to raise their own children. They won't even bring them up. They just put them out to anybody. They're more concerned about my career than they are little Johnny, brother. They're more concerned in this area about my house. This boat I got to take down to the lake and all this. Hey, we sold them out for a bowl of soup. We sold them out for a bowl of pottage. And we said, well, we just want what smells good. I'll just sell what I've got. I'll give it away. It really don't matter. And then mama's leaving children and my friend going off here and there. And daddy's dropping them off in a bunch of serpent dens. And they go here and there. I'm telling you this tonight. If you want the power of God, if you want the proof of God, if I want it tonight, it's going to have to be some changes made in our own heart and life in the Holy Ghost. And say, dear God, I'm a church man. I'm God's man. I'm God's people. And we need to pray and get God back around. We need God back in our homes. We need God back in the house. We need God back in our decisions. We need God back in us, our children again. We've lived so worldly ourselves that they don't even bother them no more. And we need the Holy Ghost to help us before we see some things ruined in our house tonight. Amen. That's right, isn't it? That's right. You know that's right. God help us. God help us. Hey, folks, everything in that world out there is against us. It's against us and our children. I'm talking about the worldliness of the world. I'm talking about the things of the world that's contrary to God. It's against us. It's against us. Hey, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not, the Bible said. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father's not in it. That don't mean you're going to go in your house and you're going to shut the door and you're going to live an isolated life. That ain't what that means. If you're going to do anything with God, you ain't going to live in isolation. You're going to live in communication with God. That's right. Amen. May God give us things to enjoy in this life. God lets me enjoy some things. Amen. I enjoy it. But I'm telling you this. Brother, when them things become my God, when them things become something more important to me than my relationship with God, my wife and my youngins, and brother, the church, there's a problem and there's where the ruin comes. Amen. Listen, friend, I've seen it. And I've seen it now. And people I know, they forsake the house of God for pleasure. They forsake the house of God for their own things. I'm telling you, listen, you'll come back one day and you'll say, preacher, I shouldn't have done that. Preacher, I know I miss God here. And I'm telling you what, you can go so far in missing God that your own home can face a lot of ruin and a lot of hurt. I tell you what, I missed God before. I don't know about you. I missed God in some things that it cost me. Hey, friend, when you go against the way of God and go against the light and compromise and don't stand the way you ought to stand on some things, it'll end up cost you. No matter who you are, it'll cost you every time. They don't say this, the love of money. The love of money is called much ruin in homes. I don't sense that a great problem in this church. But if it is, the Holy Ghost hadn't told me. I don't sense the love of money is called a great problem. I'd say the biggest problem we have is warfare with the flesh and the world. Siding with truth and right, even though our heart says, yes, we want to do it. Within, there's a battle in doing it. Amen. Hey, friend, let me tell you something. When the unction's gone, what you going to do? Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you this. When God's unctionizing me and I feel His presence, it's easy. But when He says, all right, Hyatt, I'm with you, but I ain't going to unctionize you. I'm going to see what you're going to do with truth. I'm going to see if you're going to preach the truth. I'm going to see if you're going to stand for the right. Amen. Hey, God has put me to the test. He knows what I'm going to do. He knows. Amen. Hey, friend, let me give you this tonight. Everything ought to be done because we're on the rock. Everything ought to be done because of the foundation that we're on. He that doeth them things is because we love God and the truth. And I'm telling you tonight, there's a lot of places that's failed. There's been a great fall in a lot of churches because they compromised and they went the way of the world of religion. Yeah.
and not the way of God. And then family members ruin a lot of homes. I got married in my early 20s. And I believe the day I got married, that when I stood here and her daddy brought her down the aisle and he brought her this far and he says, "Who gives this bride?" And he said, "Her mother and I," and she stepped forward. He was saying to her, "Now I'm giving my daughter to you for life." And he went back and sat down. Now listen to me tonight, I'm preaching the truth. When you marry somebody, you are marrying into the family. But you're not marrying the family. And there's been a lot of people ruined because they couldn't get past that. They couldn't get past the fact that God's the authority and not mom and daddy no more. And some of you wives, and God help you, you know I preach this, you know I'm not saying this because I think that I'm something. But some of you wives can't get back by the Word of God knowing that you're in submission to that husband God gave you. See, that ain't preached no more because nobody don't believe it. Nobody don't much believe that the husband's the head of the wife, even Christ's the head of the church, and she's to be in subjection in everything according to Scripture that's in line with God. Isn't that what it says? Listen, let me tell you ladies something tonight. You can believe it whether you want to or not. It don't matter. I'm just telling it to you. Now you can go out and beat your head against the wall. God never told you to straighten your husband out. No, there ain't a verse of Scripture. I'll right here in this book. Abraham listened to Sarah and had Ishmael. Then God did tell him to listen to her and get the bondwoman out of the house. There's nowhere in this Bible tonight, nowhere in this Bible, God tells a woman to straighten her husband out. Well, I'm going to straighten him out. I'm going to tell him what to do. Yeah, they try, but God don't, it ain't God. As just as much as you would try to straighten a pastor out. Right. That ain't in the Bible neither. If God can't do it, you surely can't. If a man's in immorality and wickedness and corruption, then he needs to be out. What did God tell a woman? To be in submission? To win him with a quiet, meek spirit? To pray? He said with shame, facing and sobriety. Bible says she is loud and stubborn in Proverbs 7. Is that what the book says? We've raised a bunch of independents today. Bless the Lord, my husband ain't got to tell me what to do. Well, why did you get married for? I'm not my wife's boss. I'm not her boss. I'm her husband. I love her. I'm her leader. I can learn from her as much as she can learn from me. But in position, I'm the man. She's the woman. God made it that way. That's the way God made it. There's no home that's going to be what God wants it to be when it's out of order. Now I understand. Sometimes a man won't take that role, but God still didn't tell you to take his position. God says to live godly, live a quiet and peaceful life, live in meekness, thank God, honor him. And God will honor you. That's right.
And God didn't tell you to get on the telephone and call your mom every time something didn't go right, neither. Amen. That's right, brother. Amen. That don't belong to me anyhow. Don't belong to me. Said, I didn't like what he said. What you want me to do about it? Oh, if somebody called me and said, well, I don't like what my husband said, I'd say, what you calling me for? That don't belong to me. I'm not the marriage counselor, I'm the preacher. And then I say, well, he ought not said that, and then they get on the phone and say, hey, the preacher said you ought not said that. Then I'm going to get bit like the dog did. That's what the Bible said. Can I give you a life verse? You want to put it in your Bible as a life verse? It'll help you. Look in Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Verse 17. Proverbs 26:17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, where strife means contention, you can put arguing, debating, any old thing right there. Strife covers a lot of area. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, I want you to put these next words down in gold. Belonging not to him. Right. So that don't belong to me. Ain't that right, Brother King? Right. It don't belong to me. That don't belong to my mother-in-law neither. Right. That's right. Amen. Notice what he said. You get involved in it, it's like one that taketh a dog by the ears. I'll tell you what, I'm kind of scared of dogs. I don't know. Especially a certain kind of them. Especially some of these mean dogs. And you don't never know what kind of dog you're going to grab by the ears when you get involved in something ain't none of your business. You grab that dog by the ears and say, hey, I'm going to get in here. Your husband ought not sit there and pull on his ears. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get to speak on you. You're the one that's going to get bit. That's why I went to policy, you know, if somebody's got a problem with the church, tell them to call the preacher. They won't call you no more. 279-6262. 245-2276. 730 Barger Road.
Amen.
That's my phone number. I had a man say something to me one time about somebody coming to church. This has been about 10 years ago or more. He stood back there, when I was standing back there one day, and he said, I don't like them people coming. It was of a different color. Well, it made me mad right there in front of people who'd been visiting the house of God. What kind of sense is that? I got on the phone when I got home. I said, I'm being over your house in about 10 minutes. I said, let's go. Come on, get in my car. Where are we going? I said, we're going to see them people come to church this morning. You don't want to come. You go tell them. Because they're not the same color as you are. I said, either you're going to be quiet or we'll go see him. He said, I won't say another word about it. He never did. I'm going to tell you what, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. And I tell you, I believe the Bible said be slow to speak and swift to hear. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. Do you know why a lot of homes are ruined? Let me tell you tonight why a lot of homes are ruined. Because there's too many meddlers. Praise God. I like that kind of preaching. Now I know it's quiet, but it'll work. And I'm going to tell you, if I swept my kitchen, why am I worried about if you got a little dirt on your floor? I'm not the investigator. I'm the man of God. I get up preach. You know, I'm going to tell you when I decide to preach this. Sitting right there for you at last song. I didn't know why I was going to preach. When I get up, I just try to follow the Lord. If I don't have something concrete in my heart already, I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach what God tells me and puts my way. Amen. It'll work every time. Now, I do know this tonight. Peace, 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 peace comes from above. And that is great peace, them which love the law of God and do it. And I'm telling you what, there's great peace. Great peace in learning what I'm preaching tonight. Thank God the house on the right foundation, being obedient to God. Thank God not living in the world, not being idolatry. And handling your own mess. I'm glad I got to say that, Brother Robert. That's why I tell them young people, get your mess together. That's Robert, Brother Robert saying, they got that tag to me now. That's right. Tend to your own mess. I can't straighten your husband out. Praise God, it takes enough to get me straight. The Holy Ghost has to do that. And I'm telling you what, you parents that's raising children, you ought not never talk about your spouse behind their back to your children. That means if one of your children come to mama and say, Mama, Daddy said this. Good, he's the daddy. Daddy, Mama said this. Good, she's the mama. Don't you go behind their back, one another's back. You know what your children will do? They'll play on that. And they'll tear y'all down over it. Children ought to be able to come talk to their parents. They'll have confidence in them. But a lot of times they'll play that kind of game to get their way. And what you're doing is you're giving in to them. See, he said here in the Scripture, great was the ruin. In the other part of the Word of God, it says great was the fall. And there's a danger not on the right foundation. What is the right foundation? Who is the right? It's the rock. It's Christ. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. That's where the foundation is. And I'm telling you, not my house, your house, anybody else's house, if it ain't on the right foundation, it's in a danger not to fall. You say it would never happen to me. I'm too good of a man. She's too good of a woman. I wonder what happened to a man that's after God's own heart. I wonder what happened to a man that God said was the wisest man in the Bible. That actually the kingdom was split over why? Idolatry. At one time, that man had the glory of God in his house. At one time, that man prayed in the power. At one time, he saw the glory of God. At one time, friend, he was blessed to God. And what did he do? He married a strange wife, more than one. She took his heart. And could you believe that that man started worshiping other gods? Before he died. So don't say that. You just better, and I better realize who the right foundation is and stay with it. And that's where the great power of God is, and that's where they're so, thank God, when the storms come in our life and things hit our homes, it won't shake it. Great was the fall. The prior verse says it could not be shaken. Can't be shaken. Don't fall for the devil's tricks. He'll subtly come to you and try to trick you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm telling you tonight, the grace of God's why I stand here. It's the foundation why I stand here. That's why my home stands today is the foundation of God. May the Lord help us. Every husband ought to pray for his wife every day. I really believe in my heart tonight. I believe this, that prayer is where the power is, and that's where things happen. And I do not believe that our homes tonight can be ruined when they're praying. I believe that. God help us to do what the Lord says. He said, he that doeth them is like a man on the rock. May the Lord warn us, encourage us, and help us tonight to be upon the right foundation. The right foundation is this Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. The wrong foundation is of sand and the world and the earth that will not stand, that will perish. I love you and thank God for you. Help, pray with me that God would help us and hedge us and be with us. And we'd stand with God in these days. Let's stand tonight to our feet and have a word of prayer. Brother Todd, you pray for us tonight.